B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli Show. Tim McManus will join us in about 10 minutes for his midweek Eagles report. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. You know, it dawned on me that I interviewed that Nickelback dude.
You did?
Yes, when I was at MMR, the morning guy.
I need to hear those tapes.
At WMMR. I interviewed the dude. He was on his tractor in his what? in his fields. He was like servicing his fields
in Canada.
In Canada, where it was a live phone call.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was on his tractor, and we got him on. Chad Kruger.
Yeah.
So he's on his tractor, and we get him on, and I hear the tractor, and he goes, "Wait a minute, let me turn my tractor off." And he turned his tractor off. We did an interview. MMR used to play Nickelback a lot back then. That was part of the...
They were hit songs.
That's what I mean.
They were bad songs, but yeah. they were hit songs.
I didn't select the music. The music was all programmed by computer.
Right.
So I had to understand the music.
Yeah.
But we played Nickelback a lot. Another band we used to play all the time? Chevelle.
Here's
Chevelle.
I don't know them.
No, what was their song?
The Red.
You gotta get
Chevelle. The rockers out there know Chevelle. Big time. It's like Martinez probably loved this band, Chevelle.
Okay.
Right? But Chevelle was like big. Metallica was big. I was playing Metallica, Chevelle, Nickelback all the time.
Oh, I'm sure you were so thrilled.
Well, I liked most of it.
Right.
But, you know, I was good at it. I hit the post because they count it down. The computer would actually count down the intro for you. So you would talk over the intro, and the key was you get to zero, and the song comes on. So you had a filibuster until you got to zero. That's called hitting the post.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably a challenge.
It took me a couple of weeks to get used to it, but yeah. I got good at it.
I'm sure.
Any bad language in this song? Because obviously
No. This is a rocker song. Is Chevelle? Yeah. You got Chevelle up?
Yeah, I got
the
it.
Red. Chevelle the Red. All right. There you go.
Oh, boy.
This is an MMR rocker song, right? They say freak.
Oh, I remember this song. When
you're single, there you go. This is bands from the Midwest. There you go. It's kind of headbangerish. Kind of that.
Stained was better than those other bands.
We used to play
Stained was actually
a good band.
Well, they were a good band. They sent me up to the Manhattan Center for a concert that Stained did because we played Stained a lot.
Yeah, they had the lead singer, who was really the whole band.
Yeah, Aaron Lewis became a country singer.
Yeah, but he got weird with it, too.
Oh, I was at the concert where he threw two dudes out.
Yeah, he was emo. He got real emo. They all were following Eddie Vedder. It's all Eddie Vedder's fault. Eddie Vedder was really emo then, so every other rocker had to be emo because Eddie Vedder was emo.
I had to go to the concert that night, right, because we had him on. I had to interview him before the concert. He actually was a sane guy, but he had this like these wild eyes when he was on the stage. And one time, he was like a golfer. We're talking golf before the show, the Man Music Center. So I'm in the pit, like watching the concert, and he's got he's singing his song, he's got these fire eyes looking at these two dudes in the pit.
Wow.
And I'm going, what is wrong with this guy? He's like, and he's singing, and he's looking at these guys like he wants to kill them. So after the song, he walks off the stage, and nobody knew where he went, and he came back, and he had cash in his hand, and he goes, "You too. Here's your $120. Get the bleep out." And he had security escort him out.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, his beef was that they weren't into the music enough.
Yeah.
And so I tracked down the dudes that got thrown out the next day and had them on the air.
Well, that's smart. But Chad Kroger from Nickelback has done that too.
Yeah, it's pronounced Kruger.
Kruger?
Yes,
Kruger.
It's pronounced Kruger. It's spelled Kroger, but it's pronounced Kruger.
Well, either way, he of the terrible band, he would kick people out as well.
He would?
If you're not into Nickelback enough, he'll throw you out of the concert and give you a refund.
Well,
because they rock.
And speaking of Stained and tying it all together, yeah, we can thank Fred Durst. He was the one who originally signed Stained to
College
Records.
That. Yeah, right. Yeah, he was on the song together.
See, I like Stained.
Stained wasn't bad.
I was a Stained fan.
Yeah, Stained wasn't bad.
But their hits were So Far Away.
That was a good song.
It's Been a While.
Been a While.
Classic.
It was a huge song.
Yeah.
It's Been a While.
Fade.
He had a good little bit of voice.
Yeah, he could really sing.
Yeah. They say freak. Chappelle. It's going to Judge in Levittown. Judge, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Judge.
Hey, afternoon.
What's up, Judge?
Listen, I like Chevelle back in the day. I'm not going to lie.
You like Chevelle?
Yeah, I
like
Chevelle.
Chevelle rocked.
Too bad.
Yeah, if you liked rock and you know, banging your head, it was a rock.
I wasn't a rocker, but I liked them.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I can get to my Eagles points, I have a real quick thing about AB I'd like to tap on if I have a chance.
Go ahead.
The Eagles, I came into this week not really sure before the season. I actually had it marked off as an L on my list because we beat them 3 times in a row. It's like not likely to... it's just hard to do so many times. But then the more I think about it, I'm like, well, Jim Schwartz has them down. Julio, and while I was on hold here, I looked up some stats. Julio, in the last 3 games against us, has 29 catches, 405 yards against us. But we won every game.
Yeah. You're right.
You know,
and here's the thing that you can always count on with the Falcons. They always give it up. It doesn't matter how good they are from year to year. That quarterback, and I like the kid, but he always gives it up.
You're right. And, I mean, the difference is they're at home this time. The last 3 games have been in Philly. I know that is a slight difference, but it makes a difference, I think, for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still on the edge. I think the line's just about right, in my opinion. I would not bet it.
Hey, I'd say what? I'm a little nervous. It wouldn't surprise me if they lost the game. But that doesn't mean they're not going to be 12-4.
Also, we had Nick Foles the last 2 times and still beat them. So now we have Carson Wentz, so it might be even easier.
Yeah, okay. Well, I hope you're right.
And if I can, on AB real quick,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the Pats, like, they, I don't know, I bet a sandwich that they were going to cut him before he ever even took a snap because, in my opinion, like, Robert Kraft has his own little sexual indiscretions going on. I don't think he wants to attach this to his team and have to answer questions this whole season when it's like Brady swan song and they're already favorites. They look fine without him. I just think it's like, why pay this guy money, risk all this, deal with all these things, and Robert Kraft has to then deal with his own past again.
Yeah, but see, they're the ultimate rehab center. It has never mattered to them in the past. Besides that, they just got rid of Demaryius Thomas.
I know.
To accommodate Antonio.
Maybe that's why, but, I mean, Josh Gordon and Edelman.
If they cut him now, you know, they're thin. So I think they're going to ride this out. I think this Robert Kraft thing, I think he's egotistical enough to think that people have forgotten about that. It has nothing to do with this team.
Yeah, you might be right.
All right, man. You want to do a general knowledge question?
Yes, please.
Fictional business owners.
Okay.
All right, let's go with Mort Goldman. What was his business? Mort Goldman, of course, is from Family Guy.
Yeah, Mort. My goodness. I just assume he's like a tax guy or something. I'm not certain.
That's a violation.
Yeah. If you watch Family Guy, you gotta know Mort Goldman is the pharmacy guy.
That is terrible what that guy said based on his name, not knowing he's a pharmacist. How dare he jump out to accountant like that? That's wrong.
Listen,
that's a violation. Here's the
Family Guy, you would know that the guy is the pharmacy guy. He probably never watched it. All right, let's get Mark in Morristown in here. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Mike, Tyrone, and Nat, good afternoon.
What's up, Mark?
That was an admirable thing you did yesterday, Mike. And the unfortunate thing is that if it wasn't Mike Scott, it would have never happened yesterday.
You're probably right.
It's something that, you know, more police officers need to be there and knock it off and get our names on the book.
You know, in a way, it's the perfect storm that happened, even though it was a storm, because it's getting people, I think, to be a little more aware.
Yeah, the thing that's really bothersome to Mike is that he said that he didn't really react until he knew it was an NBA player.
Yes.
Which is, that's sickening.
Yeah, and a lot of people picked up on that as well.
Anyway, I have a question for you, if I may. Mm-hmm. I need your help.
Sure.
I got into a very heated debate this past Sunday with my brother, my younger brother. We all know that the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and we love them to death. But if you had to pick a running back core from that team or this team, who would you say is better?
The Eagles Super Bowl team to this team?
Yes, sir.
This team. Now, I know Ajayi was a good player then, but I think this team from 1-4 is a little more secure than what they had back then.
I agree with you 1,000%. The fact that he felt that LeGarius Blount was better than Mr. Howard made me...
LeGarius Blount, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but no, that's all right. I think this team has... They have different components. They have a power guy in Howard. They have the game breaker in Miles Sanders. They have the reliable guy in Clement. And they have the guy who can make some plays in very different ways in Sproles.
Very good, man. That's what I wanted to hear. And hopefully he's listening. And I told him, I said, one guy can solve this for us. One guy. Mikey Miss. So,
thanks, man. Now let me give you general knowledge.
I just want to be out of this building.
Guess what? You're playing for $50 gift card from Hooters as well.
I'm not that general knowledge intelligent. So get
Well, this is cartoon villains, right? You watch cartoons?
Yeah, I did. But go ahead.
All right, let's go with Gargamel was the villain. What was the cartoon?
Oh my God. Garfield?
You give Booterant. What'd you say?
Garfield?
Nope, sorry. It was the Smurfs. Smurfs.
And another one where they recently did a movie so that if you didn't know as a kid, you could have found out again.
True.
Why did he? He just wanted to turn the Smurfs into gold. That was his goal. Gargamel wanted to turn the Smurfs into gold.
Yeah, the cat Asriel.
He's a help. He's a villain. What do you think he wanted to do? Walk in a tulip field with him?
No, I know. But I mean, why? What? The Smurfs never bothered anybody. They were so cute.
The Smurfs were annoying to some people.
Boney corrects me. It's two movies recently.
Were you a nerd annoyed by the Smurfs?
Well, I can see where Gargamel would be annoyed by him.
With all the la la la. Exactly. You shut up all that la 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 line out in my yard.
Too positive.
Oh my gosh.
Just calm it down.
Heathens.
It's like why the Fanatic annoys me.
Yeah, right.
I still got
it. Do you want to turn the Fanatic into gold?
We're going to get to Tim McMahon in a sec, but I can bring this up. I didn't watch the game last night. The Fanatic's doing his stands, little big off his shenanigans. And there's a guy, grown man, videoing it.
Yeah.
Well, come on, man. What are you going to show the boys at work? Oh, Big Al, look at this. I got the Fanatic dancing. Look at this.
Maybe if he's having a bad day, he wants to watch it before he goes to bed or something.
Please. I can
see
that.
That's not true.
He's with a kid and there's the Fanatic and maybe the kid wants a little video. It's a grown man by himself. He's videoing the Fanatic doing the stomach thing. You haven't seen that before? All right. Let's bring in the man with our midweek report. Tim McMahon is covering Eagles for ESPN.com. He's brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, Power of Justice, for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, more than two decades helping our community. Very interesting story he had in ESPN.com today. We welcome in Tim McMahon. Timmy, how are you feeling today?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. First of all, let's look at the upcoming game here. And what feel you have for this game. And here's the dynamic. The Falcons, all right, they lost, what, 28-12. I said 33-3. I was exaggerating. 28-12 last week. They didn't look good. They come in at home. They throw the ball 40-plus times. The Eagles didn't get a pass rush, and their corners didn't cover. What kind of dynamic does that create for this Sunday night?
Well, I think, football is a psychology sport in part, and if you look at the psychology factor, as you mentioned, the Falcons got waxed in week one against Minnesota, and now return home and are going to be kind of desperate to get the win. So I think that's one thing that you look at. The other one is that they lost their rookie first round pick, Lidstrom, at right guard, which further puts in flux an offensive line that's really been trying to get its act together over the course of the last season or two. So for me, it's where the matchup meets kind of the psychology here. the Eagles feeling good going on the road, and can they take advantage of an offensive line that was very leaky against the Vikings and kind of take the crowd out of it early? I think that will be the matchup that you have to kind of hone in on to see which way this thing's going to go.
What are they alarmed by the fact that they didn't get much rush? And what is that? Because they did blitz a few times. When they blitzed, they got burned a little bit. So he resorted back to try to get pressure from the front four, which they did not get. Are there any changes or any alarm to that situation?
I don't think that there's alarm, but I think that watching it, you know, Barnett got some pressure. Brandon Graham had a couple of decent moments. But overall, they weren't generating it quite like you would like to. And one of the concerns going into the season was how are they going to replace the pass rushing efficiency of guys like Chris Long and Michael Bennett. One of the solutions to that was supposed to be Malik Jackson. He goes out. You know, so this is going to be an ongoing question until they prove definitively that it's not an issue. And that, Mike, is coupled with the fact that the secondary did not have a good game at all. You know, the cornerbacks had a really rough going, especially early. You know, so maybe they're not panicking inside. I don't get any sense from that. I mean, they think that they can get it figured out. But from, you know, from my perspective, I think a lot of people's perspective, you know, it remains a gigantic question mark over this team.
Let's talk about the cornerbacks, because during the preseason, we had heard that Sidney Jones was really making a lot of progress. Here comes the game. They start Rasul Douglas with Darby. Why?
I think the answer is, you know, kind of simply that Schwartz felt like that those were the top two cornerbacks that he could roll out there. That Rasul Douglas was, you know, one of the better guys there along with Ronald Darby. But, you know, and I know that every day they lined up during the summer, that was not the look that they rolled out there. I mean, on the left side exclusively all summer long was Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox flip-flopping on the left side. At no point that I remember did I see the pairing that Schwartz put out there in week one. And that immediately caught my attention. Like, they haven't been training, you know, this look at all, with the exception of, you know, the actual week one lead-up. And so to me, that was questionable right out of the chute. You know, Sidney Jones, you know, I thought had earned the right to at least start out on that left side, given the amount of looks that he was getting there and performing pretty well there overall. Schwartz went in a different direction, and I'm kind of curious to see, you know, how he responds in week two and which look he goes with.
Is that a statement on Jones?
I mean, it's not a statement of confidence.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a statement of confidence. I mean, you could flip it and say, well, it's a statement of confidence in Rasul Douglas, and Douglas had a nice summer. Yeah, but that wasn't the look that they were showing. And so I thought that was an opportunity to kind of put a little bit more confidence behind Jones, but they didn't do it.
What is your perspective on the Falcons' defense? Not a good defense, but I assume they've got video of last week's game that they're not going to allow DeSean Jackson to just run wild. So what does that do for the game plan? What do you think we're going to see on Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, that influences kind of a philosophy that they already have in Atlanta, which is to keep everything in front of them. They run a lot of cover three. And Carson Wentz talked about it this week, that he knows that he has to be kind of judicious in when he takes his shots, because generally they like to play deeper and they like to let offenses kind of earn it going up the field. So I think that means that there won't be quite as many shots to DeSean Jackson down the field, and that this may turn into more of a Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert type game, as Wentz is forced to kind of pick some of the underneath stuff as opposed to taking the long ball as much as he did.
Talking to Tim McManus. Tim, Akeem Spence, what should we know about him, and will he help?
You know, I don't know that he's going to make this huge impact. He's a veteran that knows the system. But I think that his real skill set, Mike, is more stopping the run than it is rushing the passer. And the opposite is true for Malik Jackson, who is better at rushing the passer than stopping the run. So it's not like this natural transition from one player to the next. I think more so it's going to be about defensive ends moving into that race car package that we saw a lot of the previous years with Jim Schwartz before Jackson got here, where you have three defensive ends along with Fletcher Cox, one of them working from a defensive tackle position, rushing the quarterback that way. That means to me that it emphasizes the role of somebody like Vinnie Curry, who's going to have to step up and either be rushing from the edge in those situations if Brandon Graham kicks in, or is actually going to be the defensive tackle. So that's more for me, like the Vinnie Curry and Tim Jernigan, you know, their roles are going to be increased pretty significantly, I think, with the loss of Jackson.
Tim, I got to ask you about your story. What I find really interesting about this story is that in this town, is that your story on the analytics creates such a great edge for the Eagles, and the fans are all into it. And yet the Phillies, the analytics, people say, you know, they go, what an edge for the Eagles. What a disgrace for the Phillies. It's it's a really interesting dynamic. But where the analytics-driven future of the NFL, the Eagles have been ahead of the game. How has it helped them?
Well, in a number of ways. I mean, there literally is not a decision that's made inside this building that doesn't at least have the analytics lens put to it. And that has definitely applied on fourth down. You know, since Doug Peterson became head coach, the Eagles have gone forward on fourth down more than any other team in the NFL. We saw the aggressiveness last week. We saw it in the Super Bowl. You know, the analytics guy was in Peterson's ear before the Philly special was run. I mean, so this is, you're talking about kind of this new age where, you know, back in the day, you know, analytics people even approaching coaches like in the off season to suggest something was taboo. And now you literally have two guys that can click into Peterson's headset in game whenever they feel is appropriate. So that's one major thing. The second one is that there's this, revolution with the player tracking data that some teams haven't even adopted. Like, there's only a third of the league that even has the system at their practice facilities. The Eagles were the first to line up and get it.
Yeah, it's called radio frequency identification technology.
Yes, RFID.
Yep. And it tracks and records the real-time position and movement of all players with a chip that's embedded in their shoulder pads. So how technically does that, I know it's hard to explain here, but how does that help?
Right, so before last season, you could just use it basically at your practices. And so it monitors how far guys are traveling, the speed in which they're traveling. There's chips in the ball in which they can see how fast the velocity and the spin rate of the football is coming out of quarterback's hands. And so they do all that sort of stuff for like injury prevention, things of that nature, engaging where players are versus where they normally are, kind of like where their base is. But last year, two years worth of game data was kind of spilled out to the league all at once, where, you know, they're wearing these chips in game too. So all of a sudden you're not just getting your practice data, but every game piece of data from every player. For the teams that have been well equipped and well versed in that kind of stuff, and the Eagles are at the fore of that, they are now using that to shape their game plans, because they can tell exactly what matchups benefit them by kind of crunching down on this data. They can actually set the pace of their respective practices based on their opponent and how fast they usually get to the line of scrimmage and then actually make the call. So they're getting very kind of, they're drilling down and getting very technical and specific in order to maximize game plan advantages. And this is the way that the Eagles are doing it. And really, unlike baseball, you know, to your original point, you know, baseball, it's everywhere, but this is just sort of the dawn in football. And so the teams that have taken advantage of it are really getting a leg up over the competition. The Patriots are huge on it, and the Eagles are huge on it.
This is really an interesting phenomenon, because in a lot of ways it's like a pristine fruit, and you never know when it's going to spoil. Like, when things are going well, the analytics part of it is brilliant. Things aren't going well, it's like, you got to get football guys in there.
It's totally true. And you need the balance, because I think we've seen on the other side, like the Browns went like super analytics without having the counterbalance. And that can be a total disaster.
Yeah.
But if you have it kind of informing your behavior instead of dictating your behavior, I think that's where, you know, the fine line is. And, you know, the reason why I think fans are more into it, one, it's, I mean, the Eagles are having plenty of success. We know that. Uh-huh. But also, I feel like analytics in football, makes offenses more aggressive. Like, you're going for it more on fourth down. There's more points being scored. You're going for two. Like, the Eagles went for two last week when they were up seven. And that's like, what? What are they doing? So they're using, like, this math in order to be more aggressive. And I think, you know, the opposite is true in baseball, which probably has something to do with it.
Blue-collar town, and the Eagles are Ivy League city. Ryan Pagnetti.
Can you believe it?
Ryan Pagnetti is the BS in economics. He's the guy who has direct line to the coach's headsets. And then there's Andrew Berry, who's an economics computer science guy from Harvard. And then there's Alex Hallaby, another Harvard dude, president of football operations and strategy. And these guys have been influenced by Moneyball. Which I find interesting in your story, that Tyrone's favorite movie, Moneyball, these dudes were spawned by the Moneyball phenomenon.
It is great. Amazing. It is like this really fascinating contrast of what the city usually identifies with and the way that this operation is being run. I mean, there are like all these Ivy Leaguers that are kind of interwoven into the personnel staff. That are helping making and kind of shape the overall decision making of what is now a successful franchise. I mean, it is pretty fascinating.
All right, Timmy, good stuff, good story. I learned a lot from it. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, buddy. There he is, Tim McManus, brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum over two decades helping our community. This is a lot more dangerous than baseball. Baseball is all about the numbers. And you can justify the analytics with the numbers, right? Football is supposed to be the manly thing. You don't need the numbers for football. You need football dudes, right? And these guys, Ivy League guys stacked to the tilt here in their front office.
And it's working because they got good players on that offensive line.
Yes.
So it's easy to be aggressive when you got the best offensive line in football.
If things go bad, it's like the first thing it's going to fall. Oh, these damn analytics. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
4:34, Mike Mussinelli Show. It is time, I think, to get a Twitter poll update. Yes, and that is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
Thanks, Mike.
Hello, Nat.
Hey.
How's it go?
It's going just swimmingly.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. I have over 1,200 votes on this one so far. How are you feeling as we look toward the Falcons game? 73% say confident. 27% say concerned.
Okay.
Concerned.
The
concerned went up a percentage point.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not trying to influence it. It's just the way I feel. How's the car going now? You any problems with the car? Is that what you're dealing with right now?
Still.
Yeah. What's the story?
So the
Nat had a problem with her car. Still has a problem.
Yeah. So
had a bad starter apparently.
No, but it wasn't a bad starter. No. It was a discrepancy in that, and it's the communication module that was originally replaced a couple months ago, failing again.
Uh-huh.
So now after two toes to multiple different places, it's being told that it's the original issue, which somebody was unaware of that happened, even though it was fixed at this place. It's mm-hmm. it's a mess.
So it's hard to
the company dropped it and cracked your bumper. Yeah.
Yeah.
So not only
you're having bad luck here.
I'm having very bad luck here. And originally it was just supposed to be like a minor fix because it was diagnosed as a computer issue, but they wanted to tell me that I wasn't a computer issue and that it was something else. But now it's totally the computer issue since the computer already failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a happy camper. Well, it's been so stressful.
Yeah. It is a pain in the butt.
And now they're saying that I can't, you know, the it was the roadside assistance through the company of the car that I have, you know, the national company that towed my car and dropped it in the first place. And now they're telling me that I have to pay out of pocket for my rental until they investigate, even though they dropped my car. I just can't. It's been so complicated and a headache. So,
well, good.
That's all.
Hopefully, you get straightened out soon.
Well, you know, we're only at a week here now, so.
Okay. Still doing a rental car?
Yeah.
And you're paying for this rental car?
As of tomorrow, allegedly, I have to pay out of pocket, even though they've misdiagnosed the problem twice now, and my bumper isn't even near being fixed.
And your insurance company is not involved in this?
They are not.
The rental car?
They are not. Because it's not, I have to go through the other company.
Oh.
Fun times.
Yeah. all right, let me straighten out one thing on the Antonio Brown lawsuit, because a couple lawyers have sounded off. That civil procedure was not my finest subject in law school. It was boring, and so I'm not like that well-versed on the civil procedure part of this. But the $75,000 is a requirement to get it in federal court. Jurisdiction in federal court, it has to be at least $75,000. They're actually asking for more than that. But to get it in federal court on diversity jurisdiction, which means that parties are from different states, it has to be $75,000 minimum. So she's probably asking for more. That's just the requirement to get it in federal court.
All right.
Federal civil jurisdiction.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Vicente on a cell. Vicente, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vicente!
Hola, amigo, ¿cómo estás?
Hola, Vicente, ¿cómo está?
I'm fine now, I'm home. I just came back from Harrisburg, long trip.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I heard you very excited earlier about the lineup for the Phillies.
Yes.
And especially the guy who is batting on seven.
Cecita.
Cecita. Yeah. Okay, so on that point, I wanted to mention...
Or as he's known... And I've actually never heard the announcers call him by his last name. Cesar.
Cesar, huh?
Cesar.
Cesar, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I am the first one out of 13 children. So my mother decided to put my name of my father's name, to put on me.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, how can you differentiate when you're calling your husband and when you're calling your son? You know?
Uh-huh.
So, my dad is Vicente.
Uh-huh.
But I became Vicentito.
Oh, yeah. Vicentito. They need a little Vincent.
The little one.
Like, Cecita is little Caesar.
Yes.
Yes.
So, my nickname is Cecito. Almost similar to Cecita.
Vicito?
No, Vicentito.
Vicentito. Vicentito.
Exactly.
So, did they call you Tito for short?
No. They call him
Vicentito.
Tito.
I like it. Know. I like the Tito at the end.
I didn't want Tito because of the Michael Jackson, you know, one of the brothers.
Tito Jackson.
Yeah, Tito Jackson, Jermaine,
Yep.
Anyway, you know, I'm very excited about the show. And last time I called you, I was giving you some numbers, and I forgot to mention. When he went in on Sunday, he was tied with Randy Moss on, 29 passes, longer passes of touchdowns of 50 yards or more.
Yes.
Now, he's 31 passes, touchdowns. So, he's just five behind the old
Jerry guy, Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Yes.
So, that's another number, you know?
Uh-huh.
I wanted to throw in there. And I wanted to ask
you... Oh, or as he's known, Harry Arroz.
Jerónimo Arrocero.
Eri Arrostito.
Arrocito. Correcto, mundo. The last thing I want to ask you is, Malik Jackson went down in the injury foot and stuff. So now they signed Akeem Spence. Do you think it's the right move coming from the Dolphins? He's going to be another J.I.J. instead of Chris Long?
Chris Long probably isn't in game shape, so that idea was just floated.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how this guy's going to help him. Tim Jernigan's going to have to play out of his mind, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't count on Spence, but they have a couple guys in the back there. So, but Jernigan's got to stay healthy. I mean, that's the point. He doesn't stay healthy, they're probably in trouble.
Yeah, he has to
press him into service as a full time guy now.
Yeah, he's back to physically. He's back to the Super Bowl form. The question is, can he stay in the Super Bowl year form?
Yeah. 610-622-0975. Just keep that. Keep trying. I know the lines are busy sometimes. Like you gotta like, I tell you the last number trick. Yeah, it's general knowledge. When I say, oh, I forgot to give Vicente general knowledge. That's because you went 3 minutes.
Yeah, ran out of time.
Sorry, Vicente. You got to get in quicker and get your point quicker. Anyway, we're back after this on General Knowledge Wednesday, Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:47, Mike Missinelli Show. Poor Natalie. Nat's telling me the horror story about her car. I'm going to have to out the company. Because this is a Ford problem, Nat, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to. There's a specific dealership you're dealing with. But it's the Ford company.
It's the company. It's not the dealership.
It's the Ford company that's creating this whole situation. And they can easily be the ombudsman and solve this problem for you. So if there is a Ford corporate dude who's out there who has some jurisdiction, who can help poor Natalie out, because she's beside herself here. She's getting a runaround from five different people. Now, we've all been through that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if there's a Ford guy out there, he's a trustable guy, you want to do something for your company and solve a problem, help Natalie out.
I need
you can
some...
be a hero within the Ford company if Ford would get good public relations by fixing Natalie's car here.
I need to get somebody who's... in corporate, though, who are, because
right, it's got to be a corporate issue, guy. It's got to be a regional supervisor of some sort.
Yeah, because the issue is what I'm dealing with is they're separate entities. There's not one overarching Ford entity that can like place things. You know what I mean? So it's just it's been so chaotic.
If you're a Ford guy out there that has some kind of power who can solve this problem for poor Nat, because he's getting a runaround from all these underlings, hit me up on my email. I'll pass it on to Nat.
Thank you, Mike.
It's Mike Miss at 975thefanatic.com. Ford guys. Need a Ford guy. Come on. Come up big. All right. Let's get back to the phones and we'll talk to Alan in Belmar. Alan, you're on 975 The Fanatic. Alan.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
What's going on, Alan?
We go back a lot of years, my friend. Last time I saw you, you were 5 minutes away from where I live in New Jersey on Clements Bridge Road. I think the place has been six kind of names. Alligators at the time or something like that. You did a show in the afternoon.
Really? Wow, a long time ago, bro.
It was on Clements Bridge Road in Rotterdam. But anyhow, a couple things. I know you're a baseball purist, and I respect your knowledge. And by the way, it's really neat at my age. I'm 81, so to listen, I get amused because when you say John Travolta, I think of Vinny Barbarino and Horseshack, you know, so that shows me where I am in that conversation.
Yeah, I got you.
But anyhow, a baseball question. Uh-huh. I'm not a computer guy or anything. About 5-6 weeks ago, I'm listening to A-Rod and Jessica Mendoza and them on the Game of the Week, and there's a real close play at first base, and A-Rod said, tie, favor the runner. And I said, whoops, that's not the rule that I know of. Do you know if that's a rule?
No, it's not a rule. It's an unwritten rule. And it's not really adhered to. In the day, it was, but not anymore.
All right, and second thing, as far as AB up there, do you think that Belichick would consult Kraft on the bringing Brown in with that little bit of background that Kraft had, or would he not be involved?
Oh, Kraft is involved. Listen, the bottom line is they want to stay a Super Bowl team, and they have in the past had rehab projects that have worked completely for them because the system absorbs the bad eggs and turns them into decent eggs. And I don't know if it's going to happen in this situation, but if it doesn't, they're going to release them. The only problem is they just got rid of a wide receiver, so I think that, and they guaranteed them. He guaranteed $10 million. They're not going to throw $10 million away. So they're trying to make this work at any cost.
Well, yeah, I remember years back, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to go 5 to 10 years. He was probably the best. I used to call him nose guard, but nose tackle. A guy was a good player named Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
And he went up there and played for like 4 or 5 games, and Belichick said hit the road. I think that was about the end of his career. So, in other words, you'd love to be a fly on the wall with Belichick and Brown.
Yeah, but Albert Haynesworth probably couldn't play anymore when he reached time. See,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, I think that was the end of his career.
Yeah, this guy's in the prime now, and they're envisioning two wide receivers of the extent that they have now with Tom Brady as the quarterback.
Through all the years.
Edelman in the slot. That's pretty dynamic.
Oh, yeah, and he's won a lot of Super Bowls with a lot less receivers than that. Yep. So,
all right, man, listen, you want a general knowledge question?
Why, certainly.
All right, this is NFL Defensive Players of the Year.
Okay.
All right, now, J.J. Watt won 3 of 4 from 2015 to 2012, or 2012 to 2015. He won 3 of the 4. Who was the guy that snuck in there in 2013? He played for the Carolina Panthers.
Luke Kuechly?
Correct! Nicely done! Luke Kuechly, Player of the Year. All right, let's go to Tom on a cell. Tom, you're in. Oh, wait a minute. Hold a sec. Yeah, that's Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Tommy?
Quick observation for you. Number one, Miles Sanders reminds me of Shady because he won't hit the hole. He's going to learn in the NFL. If your dad's behind the line, you're going to get killed.
Yep. Yeah, he's young. He's young. He's got to learn to pick up the blitz. He's got to learn to get to the hole quick. I mean, there's a lot of things you have to transition in college. He only had 1 year, really, of experience in college, so he's got to learn on the job. But I think he's got, an extra gear that he can provide for him.
Second issue, piece of advice for Natalie. Regarding your car, 888-LEMON-11. That's what you should do. Don't worry about the manufacturer or the dealership or a separate independent. 888-LEMON-11. They'll give you all the help you need.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. All right, bro. Do you want a general knowledge question?
Fire away. I'm going to blow it, but go ahead.
All right. General knowledge category. What South
America? I just want to be out of this building.
And guess what? You're playing for a $50 Hooters gift card as well. What South American country has the world's largest proven oil reserves, even more than Saudi Arabia?
Venezuela.
Correct. Woo! That was a big win there. And the $50 Hooters gift card. 5 o'clock hour is ahead. One line is open at 610-620-975. Grab it quickly. Mike Missanelli Show, Radio TV, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.